Hello and welcome to the next episode of Code and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. Today it's going to be a special episode because we will talk about us. My name is Alex and I'm here together with my friend Pablo. Hi Pablo.
Hello Alex.
It's the 13th episode and we thought it would make sense to finally introduce ourselves. So today we're going to have our 15 minutes of fame. And Pablo, you're going to be first, so the stage is yours, the mic is yours. Please go ahead.
Nice, thank you. Yeah, I can do a quick recap of my life, maybe. So I'm Pablo, I'm a software developer from Galicia, Spain, an area in the northwest of Spain, close to Portugal. I was born here in Galicia, in a very small village, very, very close to Portugal, so just the border. We have a river that divides Spain and Portugal, so I was on the Spanish side of the river, but very, very small village, I think. These days it's like 8,000, 10,000 inhabitants, something like that. Yeah, I grew in a kind of small town environment full of farmers and people like that from small villages. When I was, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years old, I saw this War Games film that really blew my mind. And since then, I really got into machines and computers and coding. I really want to become a, I don't know, back then wasn't a software developer, but I really want to play with computers and electronics and things like that. Then I think it was a primary school. We had a new subject appear that was called something like computers. And they were teaching BASIC, this all language that was kind of a toy language, right? And I joined that class, and yeah, again, that blew my mind again. I could write something to the computer and the computer perform tasks for me. And that was like, whoa, I really, really want to continue to do this thing. So then continue my primary school and high school studies. And yeah, I really, back then I already knew that I wanted to study something related to electronics or computers or something similar. And yeah, I discovered that software engineering was a degree in Spain, and that was the path I took. I moved to a different place, a city, which is called Ourense. It's still in Galicia. And that was the place where I studied my degree, spent some years in there, made new friends, and learned the basics about computer science. After that, I got my first job as a software developer. I was kind of a software developer for a bioinformatics research group. So I was a student helping these people to automate some tasks. It still was part of a university. It was kind of an apprenticeship or something like that. I stayed there for, I don't know, 1 year, two, and then related job appear. It was in a hospital nearby my town, another city. One's called Vigo. Some of you know it from football. They have a nice football team, which is called Delta Vigo. But yeah, it's still a small, relatively small city. So yeah, I joined the team, worked there for, I don't know, another 2 years or something like that. After that, I decided to try and build my own company with a couple of friends. So we created kind of a web agency.
Were you inspired by 37 Signals or something like this?
I don't think so. I think we were a bit naive and we thought that software development is growing and web development was, yeah, super. This was, I don't know, before the 2000, so, or, two, no, sorry, before 2010, I don't know. More than 10 years ago, for sure. Yeah, we were like, yeah, we can do it. We know how to write code and we can build a company and be successful. I don't know. As I mentioned, I think we were a bit naive. We didn't know a lot of stuff back then. We know how to code, more or less, but we didn't know anything about business and things like that. So we built our company. And the truth is, at the very beginning was nice. We had some clients. We had some struggles here and there, but I think it was working kind of. But I think I stayed with the company for almost 3 years or maybe a bit more. Yeah, but in the last times, like, things were not going so well. And also my girlfriend, these days my wife, She was doing her PhD back then, and she got a grant in UK, and she moved there. And I wasn't very happy at being here and she been there. The company wasn't doing great either, so I decided to move with her. And yeah, I heard that the UK market was great back then for developers.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably 2010, something like that. I gave it a try. Funny thing, I didn't speak any English when I moved to UK.
So you were brave.
Well, I was, I don't know, a bit too brave, I think. But she already spoke quite a good English, and I thought, okay, maybe I can learn and find a job. So I moved there with my zero knowledge of English. Well, I knew something from school, but very, very, very basic. And after a couple of weeks, I decided to start to send CVs around and try. I was really struggling with the interviews because I didn't even understand the questions.
Can totally understand this, yes.
I have some funny stories. For example, at some point after, I don't know, third interview, something like that, I saw patterns of the interviews repeat. So I started to write down the questions and answers. I don't know, back then, big portion in the interview was by telephone.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, what I did, I wrote down a lot of notes and I pasted them on the walls, my room walls. So the room was filled of cards. And I usually put the phone on hands-free mode. So my wife also heard the questions and she was pointing me to the right cards.
That's cheating, no?
Yeah, that's kind of cheating. But, she didn't know anything about software development or computers, but she understood English and she was pointing me to the area.
You hugged the system, right?
Okay. Yeah, kind of. And it worked. So after, I don't know how many interviews I did. More than five for sure. But one of them, I passed the whole telephone thing. I went to the office to do the in-house interview, which was also quite funny because I was struggling. But I don't know. Somehow I managed to reply to the questions, and I think the technical challenge was good enough. So they were happy with my responses to the technical challenge. So I got an offer. I accepted the offer, and I got my first job in UK. Yeah, I learned a lot of English in that in that position. Yeah, after that, I don't know. I think it took me a good 6 months to really understand to learn the basics about English and be able to communicate properly.
Did you attend any courses?
No, not at all. But yes, I mentioned my wife's English is very good, and it was already very good. And we were talking in English all the time. She was forcing me to practice, yeah, all the time. So no Spanish at home at all. And I was trying to avoid, maybe that was a bit harsh, but I was trying to avoid the Spanish people all the time when I was in my first year or two years in the UK. I was trying to, yeah, not make Spanish friends. Because then you end up speaking Spanish and yeah.
Yeah, then you have to wait to escape, right, from this uncomfortable situation, yeah.
Correct. So, yeah, that was probably my first year in the UK. It was mainly about learning the language and the culture. After that, yeah, we were doing well. I was getting other jobs, jumping through different jobs and gigs. Yeah, what happened next? Oh, yeah. So at some point we always love snow and snow sports. At some point we realized that we were traveling a lot to the French Alps and trying to get holidays all the time to go there. And we were also a bit tired of London, of the big city. It was super expensive, probably still super expensive. And yeah, we decided to move to the Alps because that was our passion back then, skiing and snowboarding. I managed to get a remote position, and my wife was writing down her thesis, so she needed some kind of peace time to write it down. So we thought, why not? Let's give it a try. If everything goes wrong, we can always go back to London. So we moved to the Alps, and we lived in the Alps for 4 years or something like that. I was working remotely for different companies as a freelance, as a permanent for a while. And it was a really nice time, I have to say. But again, after some time, you get tired. We decided that it was time to go back home. So we wanted, the main reason was that we wanted to spend more time with family and friends. Yeah, we moved back to Galicia. We have a small house in a rural area. Yeah, we are back in Galicia, quite close to the family. Still moving to ski areas quite frequently. So we tend to spend winters in some close to ski resorts in the north of Spain, things like that. I think for now we are settled. Let's see. We have been in Spain only for 2 years or 2.5. So close to the 3 years limit.
Never say never, right?
Yeah. So yeah, let's see how it goes. How about you, Alex? What's your story?
I have a question, first of all. Sure. You mentioned that you were interested. So once you discovered computers and war games movie, you got interested in into computers, but computers usually two sides. They have two sides, right? They have software and they have hardware.
Yeah.
Which part was more interested for you?
At that point, both of them. Mm-hmm. So I remember my dad had one of these old radios with all the transistors and things like that. And I remember myself just destroying the thing just to see what was inside. And when I was a teenager, I really liked to build my own computers. You know, when you buy the motherboard and the microchips and everything and then build your computer. I don't do that anymore because now, I don't know, I'm old and lazy. But yeah, I used to love hardware as much as software. But then, I don't know, when I started my degree, we had some subjects on hardware, and they were not as much fun as the software ones, I guess. So I leaned towards software more. Also, my professional career, right? I started kind of a web developer and keep going from there. I don't know. It's sometimes you don't think much about it. It's just the way it evolves. I can imagine myself working with robots and things like that and hardware and being also happy. Don't have a clear answer.
That's interesting. I could relate to many things that you mentioned, but to some of them, like electronics one, probably not. But let me tell you my story.
Yeah.
So I was born in a country which doesn't even exist anymore. So it was Soviet Union, disappeared from the map. Now it's called Russian Federation, right?
Yeah.
So I was born in the south of this country. And as in your case, it was the land of farmers, like just farms everywhere. Nothing related to computers, like nothing like this at all. So as a kid, I was always trying to imagine whom I will be later when I will be adult. The list was huge. I wanted to be a medical doctor. I wanted to be adventurer. I wanted to be a sailor. I'm not sure about astronauts, but maybe I was also wanted to be like all sorts of different professions. And then at some point when I was 9 or 10, like something, so I was in the early school years, I got a book which was called I Was in Computer City. And that was mind-blowing for me. Like the book was, the story in the book was simple. A boy somehow, he fell asleep and gets inside of computer in his dream. And there was a whole adventure. There was a computer virus. There was a detective who was trying to catch this computer virus. There's a happy end in the end. And the book was divided on two parts. The one was the story itself. And the second part was something like dictionary, where you could find all these computer terms, like what is the keyboard, mouse, monitor, disks, and all algorithm. But because the book was for kids, this dictionary was not just text with explanations. It was made as a comic. So everything was pictures with some balloons when they speak, and there's a set of characters, and they were explaining all these terms. Each character had its own personality. So there was a professor named Fortran as a programming language. he was like a wise man. He knew answers on all questions. And there was two curious characters. They were like kids-like. There's a sparrow and a caterpillar. There was also a cat. He was like kind of in the middle between. So he's not that wise as a professor, but he's not a kid anymore. So he knows some stuff. And there were also some puzzles in this book. And with these puzzles, now I understand this, with these puzzles, the author of this book, they were trying to solidify like the knowledge that you get from the book, right? Because you have to tease yourself and then train yourself once again. So you know you need to know all these terms in order to solve puzzles and this kind of stuff. And that was mind-blowing for me. Like literally, I was, okay, I'm not going to be adventurer, so I don't care about anything else. I want to be this person who works with this, because I want to have this adventure as this little boy in the book. There was also a second book, like extension for this book, which I also got after some time. And that was Encyclopedia, which is basically was extended version of this dictionary. There was no story anymore, just this comic-like explanations for all computer terms, plus some puzzles. Inside of this encyclopedia, there was a manual how to build your own computer, but using paper, just paper, glue, and scissors. So that was my first computer. I spent a couple days to build it. I succeeded in the end. So I had a 3D model of a computer with display, with something like the disk drive, keyboard. There were no mouse, but these are the components. The hardest part was to scale up the picture, because in the book it was, they were like squares, right? You have this map and you have to multiply, let's say one square in the book, it's, I don't know, 2 centimeters, and you have to multiply. And for 9-10 years old kid, that's kind of tricky part. So yeah. I did multiple attempts, succeeded. And then I was playing video games on this computer with my young sister. So I was imagining these games. I was making cards, which like just on the pieces of paper. Each card is a screen in the game, and I was putting them on the screen of my paper computer, and that I was explaining what is happening. So she needs to solve the puzzle. I don't know, do some math, like 1 plus 1 or 4 minus 2, something like this. Answer some tricky questions. This is how I had fun with computers. And then years later, I finally got access to actual computers, to actual machines. They had no hard drives, just floppy drive to boot this thing. It was super noisy, insanely slow, and it was running just Microsoft DOS, Norton Commander, I remember. And there was also QBasic, programming language, which I was studying at school. And that was amazing time. It was the best subject in the whole school. I like math and geometry and this kind of subjects, but this was, it's like you go and then you're in heaven.
Yeah.
You really enjoy every second, literally. Video games, when you do well and you, I don't know, do all these tests correctly, then the teacher was allowing you to play video games on his computer, because he had a computer which was a little bit more powerful.
Oh, yeah. What a shame for me. Yeah.
So this stuff. Yeah. That was just confirmation for me that, yeah, this is my thing and I would like to continue. So then I went to college. My degree was engineer of software automated system, something like this. Mm-hmm. After the college, I got my first job. Somehow I never had a job which is not related to software or computers. This is like never in my life. I don't know, I didn't sell
never,
ice cream.
Ever.
Yeah, it wasn't, I don't know, okay, delivery boy or something like this.
Okay.
It's all computers all the time. So I was lucky, I guess, in this case. So my first job was related to computers. I was using Delphi, and there was a small startup company. They were making custom devices to measure weight, different objects, and it could be trains, cars, this kind of stuff. So they were designing and making the hardware for this, and I was responsible for writing software for this hardware to display all this the information that the hardware collects. And that was the moment when I had the chance to work with the hardware and with software. And that was the moment when I realized that, no, the hardware is not for me. I know how it works. I could totally do something with it, but I do not enjoy. And I knew exactly what are the reasons. And in the college, we also had some subjects related to hardware. So we have to assemble some things like soldering chips and then cards and so on and make them run. I didn't like this type of work because it's not that predictable with software, because there are lots of reasons why your board might not work, because of interference, the bad contact between components, and I don't know, you did the soldering wrong or something like this, something which might not be even visible until you use special devices to actually detect this thing. And it was like, I just want to have this thing run and do what, what it's supposed to do.
It is similar with software, right? I think the main difference is that with software, the feedback loop is much shorter because you can run a test, you can run a browser and see that the code is broken.
Yeah,
so the feedback loop is much more shorter than the one that you get when you're playing around or working with that hardware, I guess.
Yeah, totally. And maybe my brain is not made for this kind of task, but with software, I could more or less easier to detect which things could cause the problem and which not. So I could cut the stuff which definitely is not related to the issue and then focus just on these possible reasons for the problem. But with hardware, so I look at this board.
Yeah.
Visually, it looks fine, but the signal is wrong, or the most horrible thing when it's wrong, but not all the time. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like, why? Oh, it's because it's overheated sometimes, or there's some interference. There's another device running somewhere, and that was, I don't know, super hard for me. So I was really happy in this company that I had the chance to work just with software, and we had clear separation. So I said, okay, the devices were using a serial port to connect to PC. And I say, okay, this port, that's the border. This is where your responsibility ends and my starts and other way around. And we also agreed, so I had like multiple ways to have access to devices, right, on super low level, or these devices could just, over the serial port, they could send me a text. Then the text was like encoded. There's a start, there's end, and message in the middle. And we were defining what's the message, the format of this message. And I said, okay, that's my stuff. this is low enough. I don't want to deal with bits and bytes. Just text would be fine. So that was helpful. And I was working there for a couple of years. And then one day I got an email. The email was saying, like, we have an open position in our company. It was a web agency. And we work with PHP, and we use this Apache module, which is called Midgard, which provides some kind of API on top of PHP and then MySQL. And these are the things that we use. If you would like, we would be happy to have you on board with us. I have to say, so I knew what internet is. I was using it, I don't know, dig some information for my needs. But I had no idea how this internet thing actually works, all these HTML pages and then PHP. I had no idea what it is. I didn't even know that it's a programming language. Never heard of this before this email. So I quickly Googled what PHP is. So I answered, yes, yeah, I will come to the meeting for this interview. Before interview, I Googled the answers, what Apache is, and then PHP. But then when I arrived to the interview, I was so nervous. So I forgot all these things and just say, you know what? I know certain things in software development. I know how to write software. I could really persist, and if something needs to be done, I will do my best to actually finish. But I have no idea about building web. I have no idea about PHP, Apaches, and all this stuff. MySQL never worked with this. And the head of this company, he was kind enough. He said, no worries. It's all good. We're just looking for software developers, and we're ready to teach you. So there was a mentor assigned to me, and this person was explaining me everything, showing how PHP works. And this was the beginning of my career as a web developer.
Nice.
And I never changed it. So since then, I always work with the web. And then Ruby came, then Rails.
Yeah.
Now it's also Go, and then JavaScript and all these things. But never looked at this, the hardware part anymore. So I'm happy here. While I was talking about the web stuff, I remembered how I tried to learn and understand HTML. So it was slightly problematic to get some information back in the days about programming languages, and then books were somehow expensive. So I was using magazines. I had no access to internet. Everything was offline.
Not even in the uni?
No, we didn't have it. So in my college, we had no, maybe teachers had, but no students.
Ah.
There was another university where you could go, and the university got grant from one of these huge funds And this fund said, okay, like this grant is not for anything. This is for the class with computers and the internet for 5 years. So we will pay everything and you build it and we pay. Part of the deal was access to this internet and to this class must be for any student. So if you're a student of any university, of any college, you could go there and you have 1 hour a day, I think, to spend there and then do whatever you want with the internet. So I was also going there from time to time. But that was also a weird experience. So I had no idea what to do with this internet. So I was like reading some magazines and then writing down some URLs because in like sometimes in the article they say if you like to know more, that's the address, right? So I was writing down the address from the magazine and then typing it into Netscape, I remember, and then reading some stuff. But it was sometimes like I could be done in 15 minutes with my written down links and then I have no idea what to do.
It was the same here. You know what was the first thing I did when I got my first internet connection?
No.
I just sent an email to my colleague that was sat next to me. Like, whoa, email, what is this thing? Like, and we were trying, okay, I'm going to send you one email. And yeah, he was right there. That was the first thing I did.
So it was, awkward experience.
Yeah.
Why one of these magazines, I discovered HTML. They was talking about XML and HTML, comparing this. The article was about the beginning of HTML, like previous standards, which were influencing HTML as a standard in the end. But it was very generic and not super technical article, so no specific things about HTML. So they were not explaining tags, or maybe they were assuming that you already know what this tags means, like there's a paragraph, there's a header and different levels of headers, right? But I was curious about it. So they presented some code snippets and they were showing like, that's the code and this is what you have, like with the screenshot in the end, right? And it's when it's rendered. And I started, okay, like this, like, okay, that's, so you see text, right? And that's the header. Uh-huh. And then this is how it looks. So it looks different when it's rendered. And this must be a paragraph. This is how I learned. And then I started typing it myself and using Internet Explorer to render. And then I was using this 1 hour of internet to actually discover more text. And then I built my first awesome looking, like blinking HTML page. And that was really, really interesting. But the actual work with HTML, I started doing like years later. So yeah, that was a hacker way to discover HTML in the internet. So funny times. So, and then after this, to this web agency, so I was usually working with just web stuff, discovered Ruby and Rails, started doing freelancing work. Now for the last 8 years, me and my family, we based in Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So that's my story.
Nice one.
So, Pablo, you mentioned that you like winter sports and you do it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. When you have a chance, what else you do? What are your hobbies or the things where you like to do besides work?
I really like sports in general. I've been practicing sports my whole life. When I was a kid, I used to play football with friends and from time to time in football teams. Then I started to go to gyms quite early, probably when I was 18. Something like that. And I always practice some kind of sports. Back in the days, I did jiu-jitsu. I did I always do weight training, things like that. Mid-20s, I really got into snowboarding. And yeah, I'm a bit crazy about it. I try to spend as much time as I can in the mountains. And recently, I discovered climbing. So I started to do some climbing and I also really like it. I haven't done much in the last year because COVID and restrictions. I cannot travel a lot. I find the indoors gyms a bit tricky because it's too many people in there sweating and breathing. So yeah, I stopped going there. But I would say my main hobby is sports in general. Apart from sports, I keep trying things all the time. I like to experiment with new things. So these days, for example, I already mentioned that now we live again in a rural area and we have a house with a field. So I'm farming a little bit. So planting trees, keeping the garden nice, and yeah, having fun with the field. It's one of my hobbies these days. And last but not least is dogs. So I have a dog, shepherd dog, and I really like to train with him. So we practice agility, we practice mental trailing. We are members of a club and we go there on a regular basis to do some training. No competitions for now. Yeah, that's the other thing that I really like dogs in. I always wanted to have a dog. Had to wait quite a bit because we were living in cities at some point, and I like big dogs. That's the other thing. So I had to wait until we were living in a kind of a place with a field and enough space for a pig. So yeah, I think those are my main three hobbies right now: sports, farming, and dogs.
And dogs.
Yeah. How about you? What did you do in your spare time?
Lots of things. I was asking this question myself, what are my hobbies, right? What I like to do. And I guess I never had one hobby which is persistent, like sports, for example, for you in this mm-hmm. case. But I really like trying things.
Yeah.
I tried multiple different, not professions, but different activities. Not just software development. Like, I also like to explore different software-related, like software development-related things, like different languages, different approaches, different patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Try to dig deeper into them, maybe discover the reasons why they exist. It's always interesting for me and inspiring. But I also like to do something with my hands, like arts and craftsy things. So I was, sewing monsters, stuffed toy monsters.
Yeah.
That was fun. So I was designing them and then actually making them. I was playing with concrete. So I was building things using concrete. I had to explore the process, what the concrete means, what make it strong, what make it weak, how you could play with material, how you could achieve certain surface or like certain effects on the concrete just by using this material, like the chemistry of this material and so on. I was also for some time into model painting, like scale model painting, all sorts of things. So I could call constant beginner of some sort. There was never a goal for me to be a professional in one of these activities. I don't know, be a professional model, a scale model painter, or build some concrete things and, I don't know, be like real professional and sell them, I don't know, do some exhibitions. No, it was interesting to just explore, maybe go a little bit deeper to understand the topic. And then I was having something else already. No concrete hobbies, not even one, but lots of different. And I always open to anything new. Podcasting is one of these adventures.
Yeah.
Just at some point, I was inspired by another podcast and why not? I could also at least try and then let's see how it goes. So this is my hobby profile, I would say.
Yeah, similar here, but I'm pretty consistent with a couple of them, like sports and dogs. but yeah, I keep trying things. And as I mentioned, for me, sports is like, I like sports in general, so I keep trying sports. Like, well, snowboard is the main one, and I'm quite consistent with it. But yeah, I tried plenty of sports, and some of them only for maybe a couple of months.
So, shall we wrap it up? I think we shared enough about us and we had more than 15 minutes of fame today,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, then that's it for today. Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, simply send us an email. You will find our address in the show notes. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.